Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
You know, just recently here, CBN is reporting that a former abortion doctor is testifying before Congress, before a subcommittee, about life. As this Dr. Anthony Levitino, and he gives his own background, his information. You know, we've been talking about what, you know, the justice that is happening. All this stuff is coming to surface, and God's bringing it to surface. And, you know, in the Gosnell case, you know, he was convicted. He was convicted of murder. And,
we learned yesterday about the 14th Amendment, the Constitution, that says if you're born in America, then you are a citizen.
That's right.
And so these babies were born.
Yeah, they were citizens.
So they were citizens, which means they had all the constitutional rights as anybody else, and he murdered these citizens.
That's right.
Right?
That's right.
14th Amendment.
And Fox News reported that he actually murdered 16,000 during his career.
Wow.
16,000.
Oh, my goodness.
And so this Dr. Levitino is actually...
And that's so bad, just getting convicted for three of them puts you down for, what, three life sentences or something like that.
We're going to listen to Dr. Levitino's testimony and what he has to say before Congress about his credentials, what he did as with abortions and murder, and how he feels about it today.
Chairman Franks and distinguished members of the subcommittee, my name is Anthony Levitino. I'm a board-certified obstetrician-gynecologist. I received my medical degree from Albany Medical College in Albany, New York in 1976 and completed my OBGYN residency at Albany Medical Center in 1980. Over my 32-year career, I've been privileged to practice obstetrics and gynecology in both private and university settings. And from June 1993 until September 2000, I was an associate professor of OBGYN at Albany Medical College, serving at different times as a medical student director and residency program director. I've also been in private practice and currently operate a solo gynecology practice in Las Cruces, New Mexico. Thank you for the invitation to address this issue. During my residency training during my first 5 years of private practice, I performed both first and second trimester abortions. During my residency years, second trimester abortions were typically performed using saline infusions or occasionally prostaglandin instillation techniques. These procedures were difficult, expensive, and necessitated that patients go through labor to expel their preborn children. By 1980, at the time I entered private practice, first in Florida and then in upstate New York, those of us in the abortion industry were looking for a more efficient method of second trimester abortion. We found that suction dilatation and evacuation, or suction D&E for short, offered clear advantages over the older instillation methods. The procedure was much quicker and never ran the risk of a live birth. Understand that my partner and I were not running an abortion clinic. We practiced general obstetrics and gynecology, but abortion was definitely a part of our practice. Relatively few gynecologists in upstate New York would perform such a procedure at the time, and we saw an opportunity to expand our abortion practice. I performed first trimester suction dilatation and curettage abortions in my office up to 10 weeks from last menstrual period, and later procedures in an outpatient hospital setting. From 1981 through February of 1985, I performed approximately 1,200 abortions. Over 100 of them were second trimester D&E procedures up to 24 weeks of gestation from last menstrual period, equivalent to 22 weeks post-fertilization age. As an aside, the last menstrual period dating system and post-fertilization dating systems are equally valid, and both are found in the practice of medicine and in mainstream medical literature. Most, if not all, embryology textbooks, for example, typically date fetal development in terms of days or weeks post-fertilization. In clinical obstetrics, we use the last menstrual period system. Both are valid. It's only necessary that one specify which system is utilized, and H.R. 3803 does that. Any competent physician can read the definitions in H.R. 3803 and understand exactly where that cutoff line is. Imagine, if you can, that you're a pro-choice obstetrician gynecologist like I was. Your patient today is 24 weeks pregnant, measured last menstrual period as obstetricians typically do. At 24 weeks from last menstrual period, her uterus is 2 finger breadths above her umbilicus. If you could see her baby, which would be easy on an ultrasound, that baby would be as long as your hand plus a half, from head to rump, not counting the legs. Your patient has been feeling her baby kick for the last month or more, and now she's asleep on an operating room table, and you're there to help her with her problem pregnancy. The first task is to remove the laminaria that had earlier been placed in the cervix, the opening to the uterus, to dilate it sufficiently to allow the procedure that you are about to perform. With that accomplished, direct your attention to the surgical instruments arranged on the right. The first instrument you'll need is a 14 French suction catheter. I brought one along so you don't have to imagine it. It's about 9 inches long, it's clear plastic, and there's an opening through the center of it. Picture yourself, if you can, taking this instrument and introducing it through the cervix and instructing your circulating nurse to turn on the suction machine. What you'll see is pale yellow fluid running through this, through the tubing into the suction machine. That was the amniotic fluid that was there originally to protect the baby. You're next going to need a Sofra clamp. It's about 13 inches long, it's stainless steel, and the jaw on this is composed of rows of sharp teeth. You introduce this instrument blindly and start pulling off limbs. Feel yourself grabbing and pulling hard, and I do mean hard, and out pops an arm about that long, which you put down next to you. Followed that by a leg just as long. And then you tear out the intestine, the spine, heart and lungs. Difficult part of the procedure is the head, which is about the size of a plum. You know you got it right if you've, again, this is blind, but you know you've got it right if your instrument's spread about as far as it can go. And you've got a hold of this, and you know you did it right if you crush down a white material that runs out of the cervix. That was the baby's brains. Then you can pull out skull pieces. Many times a little face will come back and stare back at you. Congratulations, you just successfully performed a D&E abortion. And if you think that doesn't hurt, if you believe that that isn't an agony for this child, please think again.
That's horrific.
It is totally horrific. That is so horrific.
That's horrific.
And he's testifying before Congress now.
Yes.
Because you can see this video. You're going to make it available on the VFN Torch.
This will be available. In fact, because Congress right now is considering a federal law to ban abortions after 20 weeks. And you know, this is, you're talking about instruments of death. These are tools that are ripping and literally taking limbs.
Well, it's a hand and a half. The baby's a hand and a half long. All the parts are there. Everything is
there
in the child. And, blindly sticking the... And you can see... You got to see this video. It's going to be on a little VFN Torch. That it is a big, huge, like...
clamp, like a...
Tongs or...
Yeah.
I can't think. Forceps.
Forceps with jagged edges.
And it looks like it's about maybe 20 inches long or something. That's what you heard banging against the mic because he was holding up for Congress. And he says you stick it in blindly. Blindly and just start tugging because you think it's a baby.
It's a baby.
And then grabbing a hold of whatever you can grab a hold of, and all of a sudden you just pull out what you get a hold of, and it's an arm. He ripped the arm off the baby. Mm. Listen, this is so evil that we're refusing to look at it.
Yeah.
But God's bringing it. It says, if we'll look at this and go, God, this is evil. This is wrong. God, forgive us. We should not have done this. What? I don't know. This is evil, God.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the beginning of recovery from this.
Absolutely.
But he's reaching in and grabbing the child's arm, ripping it off of his body. And then he grabs another arm and then grabs a leg and then starts pulling. And it's like, and then when you're trying to reach for the head, which is the size of a plum, and crushes the baby's head, that when the gray matter, when the liquid comes out, the white liquid, he says, you know that you got the head now. Because that is the white substance coming out. This may sound gruesome to you. This is happening. How many abortions have happened since 1973?
50 million.
How many abortions happen a year now? Like 1.3, you know, I've got all the numbers on this. You can find this on the VFN Torch. Millions are happening. Millions are taking place. And we're going to be held accountable for all this innocent blood.
That's right.
Listen, it doesn't just go away. Abel's blood still cries out today.
Yes.
And this soldier's blood that we just talked about earlier in the program over in Great Britain, that innocent blood on that man's hands with that meat cleaver, that blood cries out before God. And all these 50 million
abortions from 1973.
And if you actually took the population of America and you started, you know, counting off the number of states, is that like half of America?
That's half of America.
Half of the United States of America's population was aborted. Was aborted. This way, you know, done away with and destroyed these children. And the thing is like, it makes me think of this. You know, I'm listening right now. I want you to hear this. This is Planned Parenthood attorney testifying before the Florida legislature regarding the role of abortion when a baby is born during what they call is a botched abortion. It's like, okay, you were murdering the child, but now you find out the child is alive. That's what they call a botched abortion. You know, which he just got three life sentences for, right?
God's exactly.
God, which is murder. But she's calling this. Now, you got to hear this, and you can see her testimony. We're going to make this available, too, on the VFN Torch. But listen to her. This is testifying before the Florida legislator about what Gosnell just got convicted of his murder. Listen up. But they call it a botched abortion.
What we are discussing here is in the event that a human being is born and in need of medical care, what do we do?
If a baby is born on a table as a result of a botched abortion, what would Planned Parenthood want to have happen to that child that's struggling for life?
We believe that, you know, any decision that's made should be left up to the woman, her family, and the physician.
What happens in a situation where a baby is alive, breathing on a table, moving, what do your physicians do at that point?
I do not have that information. I am not a physician. I'm not an abortion provider.
I understand that you're not a physician, but you do represent physicians who do perform this activity. And can you tell me what happens when a baby is alive on the table? At that point, what do they do with the baby that is struggling to live?
Well, you know, we don't know even how prevalent this situation is.
I don't know how else I can get an answer, Mr. Chairman.
You stated that that a baby born on a table as a result of a botched abortion, that decision should be left to the doctor and the family? Is that what you're saying?
That decision should be between the patient and the healthcare provider.
I think that at that point, the patient would be the child struggling on a table. Wouldn't you agree?
That's a very good question. I really don't know how to answer that. I think, you know, I would be glad to have some more, you know, conversations with you about this.
51% of Planned Parents' income comes for committing abortions.
What objection could you possibly have to obligate a doctor to transport a child born alive to a hospital where it seems to me they would be most likely to be able to survive?
What about this, and I'm just speaking out here, what about those situations where it's in a rural healthcare setting, the hospital is 45 minutes, an hour away, that's the closest trauma center, emergency room. You know, there's just some logistical issues involved that we've got some concerns about.
Who cares if it's a rural health clinic? If there's a baby born that's struggling, we ought to do, I think that's every right for us to intervene if we have to make sure that struggling child survives. And to say that we're inserting politics in it is just ludicrous. This is just, again, like Representative Davis says, I can't imagine that we're having this conversation. It's a great bill, and I look forward to supporting it.
What you're saying, if you oppose it, is you have a living baby struggling to survive, and you do something other. I don't even want to talk about what you do, but you do something other than resuscitate and save the baby. And I would urge your support of this bill. It makes total sense. I congratulate the sponsor.
Boy, I've been pro-choice my whole life, and I can't think of a more sensible bill in this regard. So I'll cut it short, and I'll support the bill. Thank you.
This is so important because what they're testifying for the Florida legislature, that the who gets over $500 and some odd million from taxpayer money, Planned Parenthood, that what Gosnell just got convicted of, the murder of the American citizens, these children that are born, which they define as botched abortion, she was trying every way to say, you know, that the killing of that baby happens quietly between that doctor and that mother. And
right.
That's how we, that's our position with Planned Parenthood, is that this child, whether it lives or dies, whether the citizen lives or dies, this 14th Amendment citizen to the United States of America, whether they're just going to live or die, we privately do that. We bring our personal justice on this child and kill it when it's laying out there on the table.
Born alive.
Born alive. Born alive. Listen, dear God, end abortion, sin, revival.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the Daily VFN Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Don't forget to share it with your friends. Find out more and listen to the Daily VFN Radio program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with your mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com.